communes, a group of people living together and sharing responsibilities. Communes are the preferred living situation for cults. It allows manipulators to keep their victims isolated and indoctrinated around the clock.
Yeah, so in one particular city, say the city of Melbourne, there were like six communes. And children were, now this was in the 1980s, children were divided up into age groups. So all the toddlers were sort of cared for in one particular household. With the young ones, it would be in different parts of the household, but with the older ones, they were moved from the household where their parents lived to another household in another part of the city.
Let's be clear. This is another form of mental manipulation. It's impossible for you to have familiar and sibling bonds with a person you never grew up around. So by default, you put all your faith and trust in the cult.
The teaching was that these familial bonds, you know, these family, you know, mother-child, parent-child, child-sibling relationships were an interference in God's work and that we were all one family, one wife. There's a teaching called One Wife. We were all married to God and God's work, and everything must be subservient to that, even the family unit. One of the worst things, and I don't think really enough has been spoken about this, but even babies were smacked if they threw food on the floor, babies in high chairs. Wow. Like a baby sits in a high chair from when they're 5, 6 months old. If they throw a spoon or throw food on the floor, they would get smacked. It was, you know, considered, you know, that child is being naughty, they're being rebellious, you know, they have to be taught. And some babies did get smacked. Smacking was a really big thing, but not just one smack, like, you know, come here, smack. It was, you know, the child would be taken aside. They would be paddled, really, over and over and over and over until they stop screaming and kicking. And when they just submit and the child, the brutality that has been meted out to the children born into this cult is criminal. It is criminal how these children were treated. And the effects of this are really, really showing in their lives now, in their 30s and in their 40s. I can't even tell you this. Such a high rate of suicide, and it's ongoing. So for children to be treated with such cruelty and such brutality, it really injures them. It really harms them emotionally and psychologically.
The Family International communes were monuments to misogyny, manipulation, and mental torture, often forcing women to carry an unfair share of the load. Women were separated from their children. They were not allowed to work traditional jobs. But an operation this size needs funds to stay alive. So as you'll soon find out, the Family International had plans on how to exploit their children and their women. Once again, Miss Sandy Ellis.
This is also an economic financial empire. All the money goes up the line. The literature that David Berg wrote was published, and it was distributed. At first, we called them mo letters or tracts, and later there were posters and video cassettes of children in the cult performing and singing. And there were like music cassettes. So these were all things that the cult produced and sold out on the streets or gave away for donations. So that was one way. So that's all tax-free money. That is called preaching the gospel and sharing God's word. This is God's word according to David Berg. So that was one way that money came into the cult. Another one was provisioning, where they would approach businesses and tell them, you know, we visit all people's homes. So, well, they would have like these little PR things going on where they would go to some old people's homes and the children would sing, and they were very lovely experiences, and they would take photos and make albums and go out and say, look, you know, we do this. This is our work. this is really our PR, but this is our work. This is what we do. And, you know, can you help us? You know, the house, we have a big house. It all needs recarpeting. So that was called provisioning.
This was a common thing in the Family International. They would have children regularly performing, singing, or begging for money. Because we all know it's harder to turn down a child. And for the women of the flock, they were sent down on special missions.
And there was another thing called flirty fishing. Yeah, this is a really big story. So flirty fishing is when women in the cult would sleep with men outside of the cult to bring them in as disciples or as fish who donated housing, protection, black market visas. That was something that the flirty fishing in particular was very lucrative. And they also did escorting. They did escorting to raise money.
Flirty fishing, or as some would call it, religious prostitution. Flirty fishing would turn out to be one of the Family International's great money makers. Bird would use sex as one of his greatest recruitment tools. There was wife sharing, group sex, and reports of sex with minors. Because as you remember, in the Family International, God was love, love was sex, so there shouldn't be any limits, regardless to age or relationship. Bird will often use sex in his sermon to indoctrinate his members.
Let's finish the subject that we started on tonight, shall we? We started discussing the flesh. Some people say we shouldn't glorify the flesh. I don't know what they want us to do with it. Maybe they want us to treat it like the Hindus do, and sit on nails and walk on coals of fire and torment it and abuse it. But, you shouldn't dress like you hippies do, though. That's exposing too much of the flesh and glorifying the flesh. If you ask me, with some people, it's humbling the flesh. And I'll just tell you something. Some of these people that have those sanctimonious, pious, self-righteous, hypocritical attitudes about nudity ought to try it sometime and see how proud it makes you. Nothing is hidden here. All things shall be revealed. Aren't there a few scriptures along that line? That day nothing shall be hidden, all things shall be revealed. Does this shock you? If it does, then you're too systematic. You're still bound by the old system, still bound. You're bound by the flesh and bound by convention and bound by the traditions of man and bound by the devil and bound by sinful attitudes. Now, we have to be cautious because all things are lawful, but not all things are expedient. And if eating of meat caused my brother to stumble, I'll eat no meat as long as the world lasts. That doesn't mean I'm never going to eat meat at all. I'm just not going to eat it where it's going to cause my brother to stumble, that's all. Well, aren't you glad you're free?
The Family International was a religious Ponzi scheme, where the people on top reaped all the rewards, where the people on the bottom suffered the most. Those on top of the pyramid had no time for those on the bottom and will often exploit them to make themselves richer or gain more power.
See, I'm what you call first generation. I'm a person who joined or who was recruited, but there were people who were born into it. They're called second generation. They're more outspoken about their experiences because they're like, this isn't my fault. I was born into this. My siblings, my friends, we were born into this. This was imposed upon us. Whereas the first generation, we have to say, I did this. We did this. This is what we were the adults, and this is what we inflicted on these innocent children. This is how we deceived the public. And there are precious few who will speak up and say that. So they lie. They write books and say, I was a Christian missionary. I served God in 12 countries for 25 years. And this is my amazing book of all the miracles God did in my life. And they publish them on Amazon.
It may shock you to know that the Family International is still active today, with active outreach and selling books written by David Berg. If David Berg was the devil, and the devil's wife is carrying on his work. When we come back, we talk about Karen Zerbe.